Hi, Church. If you're following the notes, the order of service is on page 7, so turn to page 7, and then the sermon starts again on page 1. Okay, so firstly, welcome. This service is recorded as we are limited to 20 people and masks are mandatory. For the hymns, please click on the link or copy the paste. I apologise for any adverts that come at the beginning of the hymn or song. I don't know how to deal with them. And pause as often as you like to pray. So let's open in prayer. Lord, we want to thank you that nothing can stop us from coming to you. Thank you for always being accessible to us. Thank you for making us alive in the Spirit so that we are not limited in the flesh with lockdowns and masks. We pray for the sick. We pray for those who we know are sick. Lord, we ask for you to bring people to our minds so that we can pray for the healing of them now. Pray for those who are lonely, especially in these COVID times with lockdowns. We pray against depression and loneliness. We want to thank you, Father, for phones and emails so that we can maintain contact with them. Help us, Lord, and show us how to reach out to them. Pray for those who are suffering financially because of the lockdown. Pray for those who we know whose incomes have been affected by COVID. We pray that they will be covered and protected. And Lord, later on, as we look at Daniel again, we pray that we will learn whatever your Spirit wants to teach us from the studies in Daniel. We break down every barrier that would block us from learning and coming to you. Thank you, Lord, that your word is always full of wisdom for us. Amen. Click on the link and let's sing, O Praise the Name, I Cast My Mind. Pause to pray a prayer of praise. Now click on the link and let's sing the hymn, Tell Out My Soul. Pray for an alertness and a courage and determination to speak out for Jesus. We would normally have a collection, but we can use this time to thank God for supplying all our needs so that in this land we have food and shelter. We ask you, gracious Father, to guide us in our finances, to build up your kingdom. Click on the link and sing the great hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. You sang the hymn. What words caught your attention? His grace and favour? Well, our feeble frame he knows. One day we will behold him face to face. To spend a moment in prayer as God leads you in prayer. We normally have a time of community prayer, so let's pause to pray. Pray for those from Darlington Christian Fellowship that God brings to your mind. Those who are living alone, who might be lonely. For those with health problems in themselves or in their family. Our government, Mr. McGowan and Scott Morrison, and for the Christians in Parliament, for Darlington and the suburb that you live in, for your family and your friends. Ask God to bring people to your mind and pray for them. Ask God, what barriers need broken? Smash them in the name of Jesus. Ask God what sins need confessing. Confess and accept the forgiveness of God, knowing that Jesus Christ died to pay the penalty for all our sins. Click on the link for the great hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And sing that. praise God for his faithfulness. It's another hymn that maybe you don't know well, but it's a great hymn. When we all get to heaven, click on the link and if you know it, sing it. If not, enjoy it. Say rejoicing for this great hope when we all get to heaven. I pray for the sermon. Lord, we pray for your anointing as we open the Word of God. We pray for others who are listening or reading the sermon, that your Holy Spirit will teach us wonderful things. Now click on the sermon or read the notes thereon, and we will come back at the end of the sermon to sing the final hymn. So, on the notes, the sermon is on page 1. So we're looking through that. And your Bibles are open at Daniel chapter 3. So Daniel 3 verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. We saw at the end of Daniel 2 that Nebuchadnezzar praises God. He says in Daniel 2:47, "Truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret." But pride had overcome him. He made a whole statue of gold to proclaim that his empire would never be conquered and succeeded by the silver, bronze, and iron empires. It is so easy to slip back into the old ways. Satan uses pride, sloth, idolatry, lies, selfishness, people, and anything else to cause us to forsake our determination to follow God. His sneakiest tricks are to use good things, like when Abraham's servant has found Rebekah as a bride for Isaac. They're ready to leave, but Laban and their mother say in Genesis 24, "Let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that she may go." And he said to them, "Do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away so that I may go to my master." It seemed reasonable to let her stay, but Satan would have used the pause to change their mind. A common strategy of attack is used by Satan when he attacks us on several different fronts. We need to be ready. The image continued the flattering thought that Nebuchadnezzar's empire was gold. The image was 26.64 metres high, 1 cubit is 444 millimetres. The image was probably gold-plated, but even that would have cost a lot. Idols do cost a lot, while people in the world starve. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Neb demands that all the officials demonstrate their loyalty to him. A satrap was the Persian word for protector of the realm. These leaders needed to treat him as a god or die. No one was excused. The orchestra was impressive, so that no one was excusable. The people obviously feared and respected the commands of the king. They obeyed his orders. This raises the question, when is it right to disobey the government? When is the government overstepping the mark and demanding loyalty and obedience? We need wisdom to see the spiritual implications of obedience and disobedience in the flesh. Jesus heals on the Sabbath because God's law and God's heart overrule civil law. We read in John 5 the result of when Jesus heals the man in the pool of Bethesda on the Sabbath and then claimed God as his father, John 5:18. Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his father, making himself equal with God. He overrides the law when he releases the woman caught in adultery, John 8:11. And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." But in Leviticus 20:10, we read, "The adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death." Paul teaches in Romans 13:1, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." In Acts 15, the church is divided over circumcision being essential for salvation. Acts 15:1, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." This rule is abandoned. Then in Acts 4:18, Peter and John are commanded to not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So the ultimate authority is God. Our behavior must place the kingdom of God and his will as a priority. God looks at heart for the reason behind our actions. Jeremiah 17, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." One further example is in Exodus 1, when the Hebrew midwives are instructed by the king of Egypt, "If it is a son, you shall kill him." Now the midwives do not obey the king, but lie to him. Exodus 1:17, "But the midwives feared God, and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called the midwives and said to them, 'Why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive?' And the midwives said to Pharaoh, 'Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them.' Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mightily." So God approved of their action, even though it was a lie. Our God looks at our heart. When we pray for wisdom, we learn to separate the spirit from the flesh. Rules are good, but the highest and the first and highest commandment is, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength." So you note, our heart takes priority. Then comes our soul or person. Who we become is defined by what we are born into, plus our trials, plus our spirit. These are the three witnesses in 1 John 5. And there are three that bear witness on earth: the spirit, the water, and the blood. Daniel 3. "Then a herald cried aloud, 'To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that all the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace.'" How many images do we worship in our community? An idol is something or someone we place in priority before God. It is anything that takes our time, career, cars, friends and family, pets, entertainment, sporting teams, gadgets, clothes, money, food, pride, priority away from God. These things can be in our lives, but they must not push God out of first place. even health and safety can become a priority in place of God. Paul writes in Colossians 3, "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them." Sometimes our image in the community is an idol. We want people to see us as important. You can spot idols if any criticism is received with anger. Try criticizing abortion or porn or LGBTQ or smoking ceremonies in public. Sometimes good causes can be idolatry. It is a political ruse used by politicians to pretend that they are Christians. They will do anything to win a vote. We saw that in Biden, who openly supports abortion and the LGBTQ movement, and yet goes to church. Vladimir Putin is also reported as going to church. 3rd of March 2020, BBC News, Russian President Vladimir Putin wants marriage to be defined as the union of a man and woman in a revised constitution ruling out gay marriage. So, maybe there is something there. Who knows? 22nd of February 2019, Putin often invokes the Russian Orthodox Church in his public speeches, giving the church a much more prominent place in Russian political life than his predecessors. And there in the notes I've got pictures of Biden and Putin in church. We notice here mind control. We see it in North Korea, where everyone claps so well. On the 30th of August 2018, a guy called Ri Yong-jin was executed after he dozed off during a meeting presided over by Kim Jong-un. Mind control we see in Western Australia when the media failed to report on a rally against abortion at Parliament House by over 3,000 people. Smoking ceremonies are another example of demonic worship. There is an evil spirit behind the deception, which is the devil. Our only defense is to soak ourselves in the Word of God. Our primary loyalty is not to Australia, nor Aussie culture, nor Darlington Christian Fellowship, but to God. We pray, "Thy kingdom come." So, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, harp, and lyre, in the symphony with all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshipped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Music is a very powerful component of worship, used by Satan and God. Music has a definite place in heaven. Revelation 5:8 talks about the 24 elders. The 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp. We see the satanic effect when pop concert crowds raise their hands and sway to words that have nothing to do with the worship of the one and only true God. 1 John 4, "Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." That is a very definitive statement. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Compromising Christians will not like that verse. Martin Niles makes the statement, "Truth is most offensive when it is most relevant." How true. Daniel chapter 3, verse 8. "Therefore at that time certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. There's been hatred of the Jews throughout history. In last week's homework, I showed you a map of Psalm 83, where the enemies had said, "Come and let us cut off, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more." This hatred for God's people, Jews and Christians, comes from Satan's hatred of God. He knows his time is short. "For the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time." There would have been hundreds of leaders in the empire, but these Jews were spied on and dobbed in. Their enemies looked for an opportunity to attack them, especially as they had been promoted to high positions. These three men did not lodge any protest, they simply refused to worship the image. Their actions were not public, but neither was it a secret. Barnabas Fund has regular prayer requests for Christian families who are spied on and persecuted. Supporting and funding our brothers and sisters in these countries must be a priority in how we spend our money. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I've set up? Now, if you're ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good." Neb was furious. He had already acknowledged God when Daniel interpreted his dream, but power and pride had consumed him. He could not back down without seeming powerless and foolish. Even though he had acknowledged God after the dream, he had not walked with him. The world seduces us away from God. If we make no effort to maintain a walk with him, we are seduced. John 15, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego maintain their stand for God. It is one thing to make a stand for God, but then when we are pressed, it takes a lot of courage to still stand. King David begins his reign standing strong for God. He then commits adultery with Bathsheba, murders Uriah after lying to him. But he repents. Elijah prays and stops the rain for 3 years, sees miracles and life restored, but flees for his life in fear of Jezebel. Peter stood strong for Jesus and witnessed miracles, but after following Jesus on the day of his arrest, he denies his Lord 3 times. I think a possible difference is that there were 3 men in this event. It is desperately important for us to strengthen one another. 1 Thessalonians 5, "Therefore comfort each other and edify," edify is build up, okay, "one another just as you're doing." The word comfort is also translated encourage, parakalete. Fellow Christians are our family. It is an alarming reality that we fail continually. But as we share our fears and failures, we can also encourage each other. And Nebuchadnezzar gives the three men an opportunity to obey, and he asks, is it true? This is also an opportunity for Satan to undo their courage. To stand is one thing, but to keep on standing is tougher. Paul knows this in Ephesians 6 when he says, and having done all, to stand. Having done all, to stand. These guys had the opportunity to back off. Having done all, to still stand. It's not the time to relax. Hebrews 12:1 tells us to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So easy to be tired and exhausted in the middle of a run. Run with endurance. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Now the very first commandment in Exodus 20 is, you shall have no other gods before me. They were teenagers when they were captured, but their parents had taught them well. Somehow, by their words and their example, their parents had engraved on their hearts the law of God. You shall have no other gods before me. I remember two things mainly about my gran. One was, she cried when Sisso Kid was on TV. I understood later, the heads of the four chiefs in Ipoh, Malaya, were on the four corners of the main street of town when the Japanese conquered the country. Just the Sisko Kid riding on a horse, shooting his gun into the air, would bring back terrible memories for her. The second thing was that her Bible was open in the lounge. She read it always. I think I was less than 10 years old and I saw the Bible. And I just thought, ah, that's gran. You know, decades later, I thought, wow. Yep, that was gran. She loved the Word of God. People, there are seeds that you plant in children and grandchildren and students that may take years to grow. But you plant those seeds for God. You plant those seeds. The pride of the king is blatant. He asks, and who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Nebuchadnezzar is about to have his question answered. And we will look at that in the next sermon. Sing the final song. Abide with me. Click on the link and sing this song. Story behind Abide With Me. Henry Light was left an orphan at the age of 9 and was taken in by a kind Irish minister named Dr. Robert Burrows. Even though Dr. Burrows had 5 children of his own, he took Henry in and paid for his schooling. Henry followed in Dr. Burrows' footsteps and attended Trinity College in Dublin, where he won prizes and scholarships for poetry. Henry graduated in 1814 and became an ordained minister of the Church of England. Henry overworked himself, taking care of the sick, and soon had to visit France to regain his health. Henry and his wife Anna spent their days caring for the sick and needy every day and visiting warmer France in the winter. Henry became ill with tuberculosis and was not expected to live much longer. At the age of 45, Henry prepared a farewell speech for the morning of September the 4th, 1847, which included the lyrics of Abide With Me. Henry Light passed away 10 weeks after preaching his farewell sermon. Lord, like Daniel's friends, sometimes we face circumstances that are too big to handle. And we know of people who are in those circumstances. And in these times we pray, hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me. All we want is your presence in all we do. So I pray for all those listening to the service that your presence with them will be real. Amen. Have a blessed week, people. That is the service for today.